I will just give you an example. It takes like 10 days in average to get a good candidate. And do you know how long it takes to hire someone in average? 2 to 3 months. If you let this person wait 2 or 3 months and actually he can get hired in less than 10 days, you will never get that person. So improving the candidate experience is a must if you want to have the right people in your company.
Bonjour, bienvenue au French Tech Podcast. Welcome to the French Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Nikolai. First off, let's start with just a little bit of housekeeping. We've been doing some new stuff recently here on the podcast. We've been covering events and doing video interviews. Now, some of that content is not necessarily available here on the audio stream, but it will be available on our YouTube channel. You'll find the link to our YouTube channel in the comment of this episode, and you will also be able to find all of our content, both audio and video, on our website, frenchtechpodcast.com, going forward. On this episode, I welcome Yacine Belhamoun, the co-founder of Manatel. We met in the Manatel office in the heart of Bangkok to talk about a burning issue for both startups and corporates all over Asia: hiring and retaining tech talent. Yacine shares his vision of how the classical HR process is broken. He argues that many companies simply don't spend enough time on making hiring a great experience for candidates, which he sees as an essential ingredient to hiring and retaining the best tech talent. Yacine also generously shares his own experience hiring as a serial entrepreneur in Asia and discusses the biggest mistakes he's made and what he has learned from them. If you, like many of us here in the region, struggle with hiring and retaining talent, then this is the episode for you. I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce Yacine Belhamoun, co-founder and CTO of Manatel.
Sure. So my name is Yacine, and thank you very much for having me today. I started Manatel recently after I started another company, so I would say I'm a second-time founder, and I had to learn a lot of things from the mistakes I did during my first venture. And the first thing I learned is that the human capital is something that is extremely important when you are building a business. So for sure, like having the cash, raising money is important, but it's important to be able to hire your human capital. It's important for doing your marketing spend. It's important for buying what you need to buy to make the company successful. But at the end, the person who's gonna make the company successful, or I would say the reason that a company would be successful, is the team that you are able to build. And this is very important, because at the end, if selling a product or not is not only about the marketing that you're going to spend. Building a great product, this you can outsource, but having people in-house that's going to work with the outsource team is extremely important. The strategy is all defined by the human capital that you have in your company and not by the financial capital that you have. So that's the reason why we decided to build Manatel. And also, when I speak with my friends, previous founders, managing directors, and CEOs, they always start the conversation regarding the recruitment by saying there is shortage in terms of talents, I'm not able to hire, etc. But as soon as you go deep in the details and you try to understand the reasons, it became obvious to me that the recruitment process is kind of broken.
Here in Southeast Asia, when I talk to startup founders, they always talk about how recruitment is very difficult, how they have a hard time attracting and retaining talent. Could you speak to what you think are the biggest problems in the recruitment process? What's your impression on the problems that founders are facing, and how are you trying to solve those?
Sure. I believe that the founders in general, or the people that are responsible of hiring and recruiting talents, are not close enough from hiring. So usually in a company, in a startup, even in a startup, it's someone specifically that takes care of sourcing the candidates. And when you say sourcing candidates, it means a lot of different things. How do you find the candidate? Do you go and look for passive candidates? Do you post your jobs in job boards? Do you have a career page? So it's very difficult to define this broad problem without going into the details.
Right, without knowing how people are actually going about it.
Exactly.
And I think that's especially important for technical profiles, right? Where there's a lot of competition to get those profiles, to get the best talent.
Let me just give you an example. Like as a hiring manager, as a tech lead, you are looking for a web developer. So what do you, how do you explain to your HR that you are looking for a web developer? You basically just tell her that you are looking for a web developer. You send her a job description, and it's all about like getting the candidate. So you don't know what she's actually doing, how she's sourcing the candidate. She doesn't even know what is the stack that you are looking at. Are you looking for a PHP Laravel or are you looking for Ruby on Rails? So this this problem of not being able to transfer or to express or to clearly define to what kind of candidate you are looking for is the first problem between you and your HR. It's a communication problem.
Especially in bigger companies where you have to go through HR, right? In established companies. And this is probably where you see things emerge, such as the job offers for technology that has been around for 2 years, asking for 15 years of experience, right?
Yeah, that's funny. Like people, I see it every day, actually. You see like job posts related to, for example, crypto developers, etc. And they're looking for some developers that have like 20 years of development in the crypto world. That's not possible. That doesn't even exist.
Well, yeah, definitely. If you find that one, just give him all your money, right? Just hire him immediately. So there's a problem of sourcing. How do you go about finding the people that you want to hire? What other problems are there in the recruitment process, in the recruitment pipeline?
There is definitely a huge problem. The hiring managers and the HR are not spending enough time on it. It's the candidate experience. How? Some people say you should treat your candidate as good as you treat your customers. So if you contact a developer with like 10 years of experience and he's gonna do a great job at your company and you offer him a bad experience, that's not gonna work. So I will just give you an example. It takes like 10 days in average to get a good candidate. And do you know how long it takes to hire someone in average?
Longer than that, surely.
2 to 3 months. So if you let this person wait 2 or 3 months and actually he can get hired in less than 10 days, you will never get that person. So improving the candidate experience is a must if you want to have the right people in your company.
And quick and decisive onboarding.
Sorry?
Right? Quick and decisive processes that if you try to approach candidates when you're willing and capable to hire, and if you can reduce that time, that 3 month period to get closer to those 10 days that it takes on average to hire a good person, then that would be a great thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is optimization to do in the hiring and the recruitment process. I can start with a simple example. Let's say if you schedule like 30 interviews for your hiring manager and you are not able to screen the right candidates, the right one, which is like number 20, he will get to wait like 2 months to get his interview, and the others are not good actually. So you're just gonna spend time doing interviews and at the end you will not hire them, and the right candidate will wait way too long and he will take another job, so you will miss your target.
And again, I think this is especially true for technical profiles. And just to give a little bit of context for people who are not necessarily on the technical side, who've never done any technical recruitment, it is a truth on today's market that if you're a skilled developer, for example, right, and you, for example, on LinkedIn, you make this information publicly available, that you will be bombarded with job offers. So there's the competition is very, very, very fierce to get access to profiles. And as a good candidate, as you said, the reason why it takes such a short time to hire a good candidate is because he will have so many other opportunities, right? And so he will be hired very, very quickly, whereas the candidates that take a very long time to find that technical job are most likely either less interested in finding a job or are taking longer for other reasons. But I think, yeah, I think we can definitely say that the best candidates will be out the door very, very quickly.
Yeah, and it's not even about losing that specific candidate. If you think about it, like how most companies find candidates, what do they do is basically posting a job in a job board. That's the easiest way. But if you take the numbers, more than 70% of the candidates are passive candidates. So what do I mean by passive candidate? They don't go to job boards. They are kind of happy with their job. They are open for other opportunities, but you need to contact them. You need to find them through LinkedIn, for example. And at the end, if you don't try to reach passive candidate and you use only like the ones that apply for the job, you lose like more than 70% of the market.
So from what you're describing to me, like there's problems in sourcing potential candidates, there's problems in the time with regards to the time it takes to hire those candidates. Is there in HR today, is there a good control over that whole hiring process? Do HR people or departments really know in a metric-driven fashion what they're doing?
That's a very good question. I believe if we pick any hiring manager today and we ask him, like, what is your time to fill a position?
Right, exactly.
What is your ratio between the offers that you made and the offers accepted? Is it like 10%? Is it 90%? I'm sure that probably some of them will not be able to answer this question. And at the end, if you want to do if you want to optimize your recruitment process, you need to look at the metrics, to look at tangible data that will allow you to point the real problems and focus on fixing those problems.
Because it's so very expensive to get it wrong, right? In terms of time wasted and in terms of money wasted, in terms of opportunity cost that you could have spent that time doing other things that are perhaps more useful for the company once you found the right candidate. So what are you trying to do with your solution to fix all of those issues? How do you contribute to making this whole hiring process smoother and empowering HR with the metrics that they need and the understanding that they need to get a better grasp of the hiring project process?
There are many points that we try to fix. So maybe let's start by the first one, which is extremely important, which is understanding your metrics, understanding what is working and what's not working, understanding your ratios, understanding how your HRs are performing, and overall understand what is not working. So this is the first point that we try to solve. Give those metrics to the management team, to the HR director, and to the people who can take the decisions to improve this process. And there are a lot of different other things that we offer.
How are those metrics received in general? What is there a surprise with management once they get more insight into, for example, how long it takes to hire someone or what the percentage of offers is that are actually accepted?
Usually, and the reason being that they don't have access to those metrics, they are usually surprised. Some of them realized recently, I was talking to a client and he realized that getting a VP or a senior vice president position take him like more than 3-4 months. And he was completely surprised and he never had access to this information before using the solution. And right away he took the actions to solve this issue and he made sure to improve the candidate's experience, make sure that his HR team, his hiring managers reply faster to the candidate.
So let's talk a little bit about your product, right? About your platform. So you try to solve all of these issues and increase the efficacy of the hiring process through your platform, and you're focused primarily on finding candidates, sourcing candidates through LinkedIn. Is that correct?
So LinkedIn is one of the sources.
One of the sources.
One of the sources for finding, I would say, passive candidates. But then if you take an overall... I would say LinkedIn is the best way today to find passive candidates, because on LinkedIn you can find all information related to the candidate, and you don't need to ask him for the resume and wait for his reply, etc. So LinkedIn is honestly the best way today to find passive candidates. The other one is the network. So you usually get referral from your employees. You can get referral from your friends to get passive candidates. So there are many different ways to find passive candidates, but there is also an important part, which is finding active candidates. So for sourcing active candidates, you have your career page. Your career page should probably give the best experience to the candidate to apply. Job boards as well. And if you take a look at it, it's very complex to get candidates. So your candidates, you get some in your drive, some in your computer, some in the computer of your HR director. Most of the CVs are there in the emails, etc. So at any point of time, you have one place where you centralize all your candidates, active and passive ones.
Yeah, so gathering all that information, integrating it, and then taking action on it is actually a problem unto its own, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite complicated.
And more important is some maybe not startups, but large companies, they probably had interview 3 times with the same candidate, but they don't know that. They don't know why he was rejected the first time. They don't know that the first time he had an interview with someone trying to hire him for the wrong position. And there is no leverage in terms of internal recruitment. So basically, you get a candidate, he's not a good fit for one position, and maybe he's a very good one for another team, another department, and you don't get this chance to leverage the database of candidates who applied for the jobs.
So let's talk about that, and let's switch context a little bit. You've started 2 companies here. Mm-hmm. So what has your experience been hiring here in Thailand and building a team here from scratch?
I believe this is something I should start with. I believe that the experience is very different if you are starting a startup. You are the first, second, or third person in the company, and if you are in a large corporate. So this is very, very different, and we should keep it in mind. So from my side, when I started this company, I was basically the first one with the investors who invested in the company. So I had to build the core team. So obviously the easiest and the fastest and the reliable way of doing it is starting from your network, from people that you know. So I guess the first, second, third person were almost friends, or at least people I have worked with in the past. So this helped me build trust, and having a team that I already know. I know what they can do, what they cannot do, the things that I should ask them, the things that I shouldn't. So this is very important. But as soon as you finish hiring the core team, you need people that you don't know. People, active candidates, passive candidates, etc. So I made a lot of mistakes. I hired someone who left the first week. I haven't hired someone who left the first day.
First day?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened? How did he leave the first day?
So I mentioned that I hired people that I know, and obviously they were not from Thailand. And the person who left the first day, he was Thai, and his English was not very good, but still it was a developer position. So a medium English level is fine, but he didn't feel comfortable working.
It was a cultural fit. It was a team fit.
Yeah, it was a gap that is very difficult to to fix. Like, just think about it. You go for lunch and you cannot really communicate with the other people. One of them is from France, the other is from the US, and the third one is from the Philippines. They are all speak English and you are not really able to communicate with them during lunch. So that might be a reason for for him leaving. Mm.
And so then after that mistake, what other mistakes did you make?
A lot, but I keep trying to learn from my mistakes. I think that's the first step to solve the problem. I think a big mistake that I made is not listening enough to what people want to do. So let's get back to the technical positions. Like some people, they can do backend development and data science, but they prefer doing data science, but you need them to do backend development. And during the interview, you told them like, it's going to be this one and this one, but you were not very clear in terms of scope, because as a startup founder, you don't know like where is the urgency, and you need to iterate based on the feedback from your clients. And the guy arrives and then he needs to do only backend development, but he wants to do data science, and this make him less productive.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Right, exactly. It's hard to define exactly what you're going to need a month, 2 months from now, if you're a startup, if you're still growing, and client demands are going to drive what you're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to position someone who hops on board very early on.
Yeah, and you need to manage the expectation of people. So I always start I always end my interviews with, do you feel comfortable with being very flexible? Even some people that we hire doing marketing, digital marketing, we ask them if they feel okay with doing sales. And if they say, like, we really want to do only marketing and we will not do sales, for a startup, it's very difficult. Not having this flexibility is a problem. And we try, in our case, I mean, for large companies, it's fine to hire one specialist doing only what he wants to do. But in our case, we need people that are flexible. So we need to manage the expectation. And from day one, I mean, even before day one, during the interview, we make sure that they understand that they need to be flexible.
And so now you've grown your team. We're here in your office in Bangkok. You've grown your team from this initial core team where there was just two or three of you to how many people? 20? 15? How many people are there?
Some people are coming. We should be 20 by the end of the month. But there is one thing that I'm very, very proud of, is that the core team is still here and is very strong now.
Everyone's still here. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Ça y est, c'est la fin. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Now, I know that some of you aren't subscribed yet, so please do subscribe to our podcast. Follow us here both in the audio stream and iTunes, on YouTube, and please share. Sharing is caring. So take whatever piece of content you like the most, share it with a friend, share it on your network, share it on LinkedIn, and talk soon.